Hello, Honest to God listener. This is producer Ben, and I just wanted to take a second and ask that if you have a free moment, please leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It only takes you a second, but it helps us out a ton. Thanks so much, and enjoy this episode.
AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, everybody. I am pumped to be here again. This is very exciting. Welcome to Honest to God. You are listening to 1160 AM The Quest, Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is the 140th episode of this show. That is not true. I'm not sure what number it is, but it is significantly fewer than that. We're excited to have you guys here. We got some familiar faces, and we have a brand new face here today, and we're going to talk about something really exciting, which is finding Mr. Right. So lots of dating stuff. It's going to be awkward and beautiful and awesome. So we're going to go down the line. If you've already given me five, give me one. We'll just do one this time, and then Nene, we're going to do five. You got five? You got five good ones?
I got five.
All right.
I got you.
All right, we'll start with Annie. You got one.
Yeah. My fun fact is I've never flown in a plane.
Never flown in a plane?
Never even been inside the airport.
I don't know. That's not. That feels like a not fun fact.
I mean, like
it's good. No, it's good.
Who else could say that?
Okay.
It's true. I haven't given five. So mine would be I'm studying psychology. Do I have to say my name?
Sure. Yeah.
My name is Mackenzie. I'm studying psychology. My favorite color is yellow. I have a twin, and we have different birthdays because we're born over midnight. And I did swimming competitively growing up.
That's awesome. Is it a male or female twin?
Male.
So not identical.
No.
That's right. I've paid attention.
I've had many people ask us if we're identical.
After you found out that he was a dude?
Yeah.
No, cool. They're identical.
Okay. Awesome. And you've been here. Madeline, you're a pro.
I have.
You've been in here. I think you've been on more than everybody else. Of the 140 episodes we've done,
I think
you've been on like 136.
Even though I've been on so many, it's still an honor to be back every single time.
It is an honor to have you, Madeline. What's your fact?
My fun fact is, I promise I just had it.
No, this is great. This is good.
I have never dyed my hair.
Never dyed your hair?
No.
Okay, and also that, just so everybody knows, our show today is brought to you by, what brand water bottle is that?
Kroger. Drinking water.
Kroger brand water bottles. Because sometimes, if you don't drink water, you'll die. So have Kroger brand.
Sometimes.
Nothing special, but it'll keep you hydrated. I like that. All right, awesome. And Nene.
So, hi, I'm Nene. So I'm 100% Vietnamese. I love food. I'm a big food person. I am 27 years old.
I would not have guessed. Oh my gosh.
Surprise. I love, love, love football. I'm actually a manager at a hair salon, so if you want to get your hair done, let me know.
Oh.
I'll let you know, yeah.
Yeah, let me know. We do beard trimming soon.
Do you really? Everything.
We do.
That's killer. Okay.
I got you. And actually, I was part of the first like brainstorming for the radio show. So that's how I know about this.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. Welcome back. This is the first time I've met you, and I came on, I guess, second or third brainstorming session.
Yeah, so. I came on for the first, and then I got promoted at work and everything, so finally I got like an offer to come join everybody. So I'm super happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you're here. I am John Henry. We got producer Ben rocking, being producer Ben over there, and you can't see her, but Grace Givens, just Grace, is over there. No last names over there on show notes. So, all right. So today, it's a fun topic today, right? We're going to talk about finding Mr. Right, something that I know a ton about.
Because you are Mr. Right.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was good. Thank you, Annie.
Of course.
But no, it is exciting. It's a fun topic. And I asked you guys to do a homework assignment that I assigned my 16-year-olds when I've taught theology of the body in the past. And we're not going to have time to do all 10, but just so anybody listening or watching knows, what I asked was for them to list 10 non-physical, that's really important, Madeline, non-physical attributes.
Okay, it's kind of funny. It's almost like you read my mind because I was like, I wonder if one of my things was like technically a physical one, but it technically
Madeline?
Wasn't.
I saw your 10. It was literally just Father Mike Schmidt described.
Oh, I think that was my 10.
I'm sorry. I'm a big fan. Y'all know about my apostolate, right?
No.
Hashtag more hot priests.
Oh.
Where what we're trying to do is not worry so much about getting like good solid guys to be priests, just really good looking guys.
That'd bring more people to the Catholic Church
It's a terrible idea. But I feel like it could really take off.
Hey, Father Mike, if you're watching this out here,
just come on, come join us.
Seriously. Honestly, like... I would love to make you the face of my non-existent hypothetical apostolate, Father Mike. Hashtag more hot priests. Make sure that you tag Father Mike Schmidt. Please don't do that. Don't. All right. So don't give us 10. Let's do attributes, 10 non-physical attributes that you find attractive in a man. And then a little bit, we'll do 10 non-physical attributes that you find unattractive. But right now, just give us 3. We'll go down the line, starting with Annie. It's got to be like a good 3. Not just your first three, your best three.
Okay. I would say, I have them written down. So, a good relationship with their family, detached from technology, and chivalrous.
Awesome. We're going to dig through all of these, but we're lightning round right now. Mackenzie, do the same 3. Okay. You can't do any repeats.
I would say someone who has a desire for growth. Is respectful, not just of me, but of everyone else around. And then a desire to be provider and protector.
If a guy is a jerk to waiters and waitresses, he's a terrible person.
That's a red flag.
100%.
That's a red flag.
All right. That's awesome. Madeline.
Okay. Can stand their ground, like will not do just because, or if told to. I did respect his mom and then is always there and doesn't run away when it gets hard.
Okay. Awesome. That's very good. Nini.
Okay, so mine was being genuine with their intentions. That's one of my biggest ones. Catholic, that's like one of my biggest like deal breakers is being Catholic. And then it would be, you have to be able to hold a conversation because if you're, I'm a very talkative person. I can talk to a wall, be friends with it. So if you can't hold a conversation, it's a no-go.
That's awesome. So I'll tell you what, in my experience of hearing junior girls write theirs, one that none of you said that I was surprised is sense of humor. Maybe one of you said
I
that.
I have it.
It was on there. Okay.
You only gave us 3.
I'm sorry. Okay, cool.
We all said that.
I love it. I think that is, I think that was a pretty good overview. If you could just pick one, what would it be, Mackenzie? It doesn't have to be those 3. One of anything you wrote down, what would it be?
Oh, goodness. I guess chivalry.
Chivalry. And what does chivalry look like in 2022?
I mean, honestly, what it has in the past, I would say, like, just opening doors for you, and, yeah, just, I don't think that chivalry itself has much changed, but I think it's just the opinion that everyone has put on it, like, of other people's opinions that has changed it.
Sure. Y'all have thoughts on that?
I agree.
Chivalry and what it looks like?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, chivalry makes me feel like a lady, and, like, I want to feel like I'm a lady or, like, I'm important, so, like, opening the door up for someone, or, like, the sidewalk rule is just like walk on the side that like the cars
are on.
Yeah.
True story. I was in downtown Atlanta with my wife on a date before we were married, and we were walking past like Chicken and Waffles down there. You know Chicken and Waffles downtown Atlanta?
Yeah.
And we were walking from either to or from the Coca-Cola Museum, and I was not following the sidewalk rule, and a literal homeless man stood up and told me that I was not, that
As
I needed
he
to. Yeah, he shamed me publicly. It was good, and I have done it ever since. Okay, that's awesome. All right, what's a non-negotiable, Nene?
Being Catholic. I mean, not even just being Catholic. I think, like, just either, like, being religious, and then even then, like, if you are not, like, religious, respecting that I have, like, beliefs and everything.
Sure.
I think that's my biggest thing. It's just, like, being respectful of religion. Really, if you're Catholic, that's just, like, bonus points right there.
So here's my maybe not popular opinion. I think first dates should basically be, let's lay out all the big uncomfortable stuff right now and make sure we're on the same page morally and religiously, hopefully, and all of that, right? And what are your goals? Do you want to get married ever? Do you want to have kids ever? Are you going to be open to life ever? That was one. I remember my wife and I having conversations early on. Our first date was super uncomfortable because it was like, hey, let's talk about porn and birth control for the next, like, 2 hours while we sit outside or at this Applebee's. So that was fun. But I like that. I think getting that out of the way is super important. You got a good non-negotiable over there, Madeline?
A good non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. Okay, I did say in my top 3, I would just say that is always there and, like, slash doesn't run away when it gets hard. Because, like, I feel like men and women alike, like, when they get put in situations where they don't want to handle what's going on or it's just too hard for them, they tend to run away. Mm-hmm. And, like, I just want somebody who would be willing to stick it out and, like, not run away. So, or leave. Or just, like, even, like, leave the room.
Like, I would want them to stay there and we finish that argument and end with a conversation that concludes it.
So this is probably more literal than what you're talking about, but I have a story from a friend of mine's friend, and I will not tell either of their names because it's horribly embarrassing. When my friend's friend was dating his wife, they were walking in the woods, and one of their friends had snuck through the woods to jump out in front and scare them. And they did, and my friend's friend shoved his then-girlfriend to the ground and ran in the opposite direction.
Fight or fly, and you chose to fight.
Yeah. I think,
did they get married?
Oh, my gracious.
Yeah, they're married. They got kids and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
There's exceptions.
So, No, I think the lesson, ladies, is get one of your friends to do that. And then if he shoves you to the ground and run away, then you just run with him and then past him and then to the car and then leave.
And then push him on the ground.
Exactly.
Yeah, punch him and then you run after and then you start to run forward.
And never call him ever again.
There you go.
No, I think that's good. You didn't do non-negotiable.
I did not.
What you got?
I would say holy, like growing in their faith, always pursuing their faith and putting it first. Because, I want to grow with someone, so if they're growing, it'll push me to grow in my faith.
It's kind of a cheesy quote, but I think it rings true. I heard somebody, I don't even remember who it was. I'm sure it was some speaker, Sarah Swofford or somebody. But they were saying, if you're looking for somebody to date, start running after God and then look around and see who's keeping up with you. And those are the kind of people you should be. I know.
That's really cool.
I made that up. That's not from Sarah Scott. If you could edit the part out, Ben, where I said it, give it to somebody else. Yeah. No, but I think that's a big deal. All right. So this is a little deeper, and please don't name any names, but how do the guys in your experience that you've been around in high school and college and in the professional world, how do they measure up to the things you wrote down? Not necessarily the things that you said, but the things you wrote down in general. How do they measure up? Not your brother, not your significant other, but just the guys you're around. Anybody? Nini.
Well, I love how you...
I could tell.
Oh my gosh. Okay, actually, it was one of the guys I dated. I went through a really weird transition in my life and everything, and I was really I came back to the church. I started volunteering with Life Teen and everything, my home parish, and it was actually one of the guys that is now one of my good friends. He kind of showed me, what it was to be, courted, what it was to be, genuinely, pursued and everything. And it kind of got me back into, wow, there are some really good holy men out there. Mm-hmm. And he really did check off, all the lists that I had in a spouse, except for, one was, just fighting over, I think just, my culture and everything. Because, Vietnamese culture, we're very big on respecting families and stuff like that. And with his culture, it was more of well, I can do what I want. So we argued on that. So in the end, we ended up breaking up, but we're still really good friends. But he really did show me what it was for a man to pursue a woman, even friendships and relationships too.
Yeah, I think a lot of girls, at least that I've had conversations with, don't realize that there's people out there who are actually capable of doing that. I mean, I really do think in my heart of hearts that all boys from, I have a 10-year-old son, right? So from my 10-year-old son up to an 80-year-old man, they want to be the man that you want them to be, right? Mm-hmm. They want to metaphorically or literally, if they could, right, slay dragons and protect princesses and, have and love and die to themselves for somebody else. But I think our culture feeds our men so many lies about everything. They pervert so many things. So instead of pursuing some woman you can give yourself to and spend the rest of your life with, they're going to form this pornography addiction. Or instead of actually doing courageous things and being brave and being a man, they're going to get super into Marvel movies or Star Wars and watching other people do those things without doing them themselves, right? And I don't know. That scares me a little bit. And I've absolutely been guilty of that in my own life. What do you think, Mackenzie? Guys in your life, just in general.
I don't know. I feel like coming to school and then having a group of really good guy friends have honestly raised my standards a little bit because, I don't know. They'll just stand out. If it's late at night and I have to go put my bag or any of us have to go put our bags in the car, they're standing outside. And it's oh, no, you can go in and do whatever. And he's no, I have, you're still outside. So a lot of things that I haven't seen, I guess, in our culture, just whatever, I've seen in them. And so they've definitely raised my standards.
So when you say they raised your standards, what were your standards before? What were you experiencing that you're saying your standards were low because you felt like you had to settle?
Well, not really. But I guess it was more of I don't know. They had
That's a hard question. I would say maybe just the fact that they had qualities that I really hadn't considered before. That I was like, oh, that's actually kind of important. And like, I would value in a relationship.
I talked to a lot of young men and about the women in their lives, and something that comes up again and again, and I don't know what it's like on the flip side of this coin, but is guys saying, oh, I finally met this person, or I'm with this friend group, or I know these girls now who respect themselves. And as a result, like you're saying, it raises my standards mm-hmm. a little bit, where all of a sudden the girl who's, you know, dressed in this string bikini on the beach or taking pictures she shouldn't be taking and posting them online or, you know, Snapchatting, whatever it is she's Snapchatting, that I'm starting to realize that that might be thrilling in some way, but it's not beauty. It's not something I'm actually legitimately attracted to. And I'm curious about what the flip side of that is with girls. You got into that a little bit, but anybody want to speak more to that?
Yeah, I will say, like, I was actually thinking about it while Mackenzie was talking. I thought about how I saw guys. It really changed when I came to college. Actually, everything changed when I came to college. But growing up, I didn't have any friends in the faith. I didn't know any guys that were, like, that I had friends in the faith as well. So a lot of people just kind of did everything that they wanted to. There wasn't any morals behind it.
What does that mean, everything that they wanted to?
Well, like, they would go have sex with each other. They would go out drinking. They would smoke and vape. And they would, like, just... like,
I assume you mean they didn't have sex with one another.
No.
Because that's a different episode that we're not going to do right now. Okay, great.
No, but like they didn't have any beliefs behind what they were doing. They were doing it just to do it. They were doing it to have fun because that was what was in. And then, so like for me personally, I never pursued anyone during that time because I just didn't want to. I didn't want that. I knew I didn't, but I didn't know what I wanted yet. But after coming to college, I've become friends with so many guys, like Mackenzie said, like somebody who will literally hold the door open for me when he didn't even have to when I got in, or like held out his hand to like cross over a ditch or something like that.
Sure.
Like it's so like simple, but it's like, oh, you know, he's still being nice. And it's just like, it's a definite change
And part of the reason why I'm doing that, I mean, I think it's a great conversation for girls, but it's a great conversation for guys too, to hear what girls are interested in and what mm-hmm. they want. Because I think so often they think that they need to, you know, be vaping and listening to their really loud rap music, driving around their mom's Honda Accord, and then go out and, you know, the language that they're using and mm-hmm. the way that they're treating mm-hmm. women and the topics that they're talking about. And I think that they feel like they have to do that because that's what the culture is saying to them. Mm-hmm. And then, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like girls feel like, well, I have to settle for that because all of y'all suck. You're all so terrible. And so I'm going to find somebody who's less terrible. And maybe he's got this horrible addiction, or maybe he's got all these bad problems, but at least he's not as bad as so-and-so. At least he's not actually cheating on girls. Instead, he's just kind of, you know, sending some text messages that are nasty or whatever, or just getting into some stuff on the computer that he shouldn't be doing. I don't know. Is that fair?
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm.
I've never been a girl, so I don't. All right. No, that's interesting to me. I do want to talk, and it's going to be uncomfortable, but I do want to talk about porn. I hate to bring porn up, but I think it's super necessary in this discussion. And I'm curious, I think, Annie, you mentioned that you wrote that down on your list somewhere.
Yeah, of the unattractive qualities.
So I think everybody here, yeah, right, unattractive quality. Crippling porn addiction was not an attractive quality. But I think we would all be in agreement on that. But can you verbalize why? Because I think it's important to say it out loud. Why that is such an unattractive quality.
I mean, I guess like being raised in the faith, it was just always like unattractive. But then like the more you think about it, it's just gross to me. Like it's objectifying of people, and I don't know. I don't know how to put it into words exactly, but
Madeline does.
Madeline probably has better words than I do.
Yeah. So one the way I see it is like when somebody watches porn, it's because they're not satisfied with everything around me. So if I'm dating somebody or married to somebody who's watching porn, it's like, am I not enough mm-hmm.
right.
for you?
Yeah.
Or it's like, right. and you're putting all of your effort to like look this up and watch it, and it's like I'm sitting right here. Yeah. Like not that you want to look that way at me, but it's like just like our relationship is that. Is that not enough to satisfy
yeah.
you?
Well, I think it's something that's super emasculating mm-hmm. for a person to do, right? Because, like we said earlier, it's taking, like, sex, which the church loves sex. I know that's weird to say out loud, but it's true. Like, I have a whole list of awkward saints quotes on sex. and once again, it's beautiful and it's good and it shouldn't be an awkward thing. But the fact that, you know, when St. John Paul II is saying, like, it's awesome, you should do it all the time, you should get married and just, like, it's the best. Like, and actually, you should try to be good at it. It's kind of sinful if you don't. It's like, that's an uncomfortable thing for me to be hearing from you, Mr. Pope, man. But it's this taking this beautiful, good thing and totally upending it and taking only taking it and perverting it, not just in the sexual sense, but in the, like, turning its nature backwards. Right. And then using it in a very selfish way, the exact opposite way that it was meant to be used.
Also, I want to say something else on that. I knew somebody who had gotten addicted to it, and it's just like, you can tell that they just, it was like their mind was deteriorating because they had to rely on that. That's all they wanted. And it caused them to do actions that were, like, not very good in, like, but they weren't thinking. They just did it because they needed it.
Right. Yes. Addiction. Mm-hmm. Right. So if there is a guy out there who's listening to this right now, I mean, you look at the stats, something like 98% of all men are struggling with or have struggled with pornography at some point in their life, right? I mean, it's a ridiculous percentage. I think the average age of first exposure is 8 years old or something like that, right? I mean, talk about a tragedy. If somebody out here is listening thinking, oh my goodness, I struggle with this, or I've struggled with this in the past, I'm broken and I'm ruined and I'm dirty and I'm never going to be like the man that somebody needs to be. Do you have anything to say to that? And none of these questions were prepped, by the way, if you're watching, like, they had no idea I was going to ask this, and I'm curious, but I am curious about your responses.
I was going to say, I think that's so false. Like, it shows so much character to grow and to, like, overcome an addiction like that. I think it's admirable and, like, it's attractive to, like, come back from that. So I don't think it's, like, it makes you broken. I think it makes you, like, more of a man if you can come back from that.
Yeah, I think the active struggle against an addiction that is so pervasive. Yeah, I think that there's something that's admirable to that.
Yeah, it's also something? Like, sorry.
No, please.
I think it's also like showing like vulnerability with that too. Like, if you're able to, like, be like vulnerable and open about it, that shows that you do want to grow from it. I think that, I mean, me personally as like 27-year-old single person, LOL, I like someone who can be like open and vulnerable with me. Like, yes, like share, like open your heart, share your struggles. Like, let me help you carry the cross and everything. I think that's my biggest thing.
No, that's awesome. That's great to hear. Anything else on that?
I was going to say a little, what, the same thing as what Annie was saying. And then also with that, I would say, well, I did have a point. I'm sorry.
And it was a great one.
No, it was there before I started speaking. I will say it if it comes back to me.
That sounds great. So we are unfortunately, one of the limits of these shorter shows is we are running up on time pretty quickly. But I would like if you could just pick two unattractive non-physical attributes. I would love to go down the line and hear what everybody has to say. And you seem like you're super ready, Annie. So I'm gonna start with Nini on the other side, who's scrambling with her phone right now.
Me? Yeah, okay. Yeah. The way smacking your food, cannot do it.
All right.
I am sorry, but smack your food, can't do it. And then I think my non-negotiable is, I think if you're not a family person, that's one of my biggest things, because family is very important to me. So if you're like, I don't want a family, or I don't care about my family, can't do it. Sorry, bestie.
Awesome. Yeah. Madeline.
I will have to go with complainer. If they complain all the time about everything, I don't like that.
I really hate it when they complain all the time.
I can't stand it. You get it. And then you're like irresponsibility.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's an epidemic too right now. Seriously, in our in our culture, we're coddled. And I think there's a difference between I'm not responsible and I'm being really temperate and moderate. Like, I had a guy recently who I was talking to who is, he left college and he moved back in with mom and dad. And he thought he was the worst guy in the world, but he had a full-time job and he was busting his butt and he was helping take care of his younger siblings. And I said, no, it's the exact opposite of, you're actually super responsible. Good for you. Don't feel like you have to go out in the world and put yourself in a bunch of debt. But people who have no, I think responsibility and ambition often get confused in our brains in a way. That's awesome.
I would say, kind of similar to what Nini was saying, someone who talks bad about his family and behind their backs
and just does not enjoy being with his family. And then also someone who's cocky.
What's the difference between cocky and confidence, though? Would you like a guy who's confident?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the distinction?
I guess it's confident would be someone who's content with where he is and, like, he knows his worth. Cocky would be, like, over the top and he has to be the best at everything. And I was actually talking to my future brother-in-law. He was talking about cocky, and he was saying that when someone's cocky, they have a feeling that they need to, make up for something.
Mm. Sure. So, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Is future brother-in-law the brother of the guy you're engaged to, or is that the brother of a girl who your brother's engaged to?
No. Well, my sister's fiancé.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
Not the brother of my sister.
Whenever you're ready.
I said cussing. I think cussing's unattractive. And if you feel like you need to give a disclaimer about them if you're introducing them to your friends or family.
Oh, what does that mean? Please give me like a real-life example without using names.
Like...
You can make it up. No one will know. But it has to be true.
Like, I'm dating Bill, okay? That's his name. We're going to go with Bill. Mm. And I'm talking to mom and dad. I'm like, yeah, Bill's going to come over. But, like, sometimes he, like, his language is really bad. So, like, just, like, excuse it. Or he's, like, really rude sometimes.
I hear that. Okay.
Yeah. If you give any kind of disclaimer like that, I feel like it's a no.
Sure. All right. That's awesome, guys. Well, thank you so much. I wish that we had more time. I feel like this is another one of those that could go for hours and hours and hours. Before we end, we don't have any popsicle sticks today. I'm sorry. So instead, we're going to do most overrated Christmas movie. Go.
Christmas Story.
Most overrated? You don't think it's that good?
Yeah, I didn't like it that much.
It's on TBS. Like, I know. 1,000 everybody? Okay.
I think it was overhyped for me. I didn't watch it for the first time until last year. So.
Well, that's your problem. Yeah,
I didn't grow up with it.
Mackenzie?
I think maybe Home Alone. I enjoy Home Alone, but I do think it's a little overrated.
Okay. All right.
Please don't hate me for this, but The Grinch, the live action.
I thought you were going to say Die Hard, and I was kind of upset.
No, I would not do that.
Most underrated Christmas movie.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mine would be Home Alone.
You're doing Home Alone, too?
Yeah.
Why? Why the Home Alone hate?
I like the first one. My family, I watch it every year together, but I think it should have stopped at the first one.
Macaulay Culkin is going to be on the show next week, and I'm going to tell him that you said that.
So. I like the first one, though.
And
I
Joe
love
Pesci.
The first one.
They're both going to be the entire cast of Home Alone.
I love the first one. Yeah. Just after that, I should have just been done.
I'm going to go with every single Claymation Christmas movie. Yeah, my wife loves those. They freak me out. I've never done...
Rudolph?
Yeah, and Frosty and Yukon Cornelius.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never done psychedelic drugs, but I feel like I have every time we watch
those.
It's
so good though.
It's weird. It freaks me out, and I don't like it. It makes me like viscerally uncomfortable.
We watch those like every year.
We watch them. Yeah, I'm in shock.
So, we have Show Notes Grace who has to do hers too because she just chimed in. What is it? Here. Most underrated. You got it, Show Notes Grace. Pop in.
Come on in.
It is also a Christmas Story because I watched it with Annie. We're both like,
all right. Show Notes Grace is wrong. It doesn't get to talk anymore. All right, that is all the time we have right now. Thank you guys so much for watching, and thank you guys for being here.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160 The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Do you enjoy great Catholic programming like Honest to God? Well, it can only thrive with donations from listeners like you. So if you have an extra dollar or two, consider giving it to The Quest Atlanta so we can continue to make great Catholic content like this.
And now back to Honest to God. What's on your mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, everybody. Hello and welcome. You are listening to Honest to God on 1160 AM The Quest, Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is episode number 614, and we are excited to be here today. What number is it actually? You know, don't answer it. 614. 614. We got producer Ben in the house as always, looking good. Smells great. You can't tell if you're watching, but he does. This room is not going to smell great for long. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and me. in a small room with hot lights, and we're all dudes. And some, yeah, it's gonna be an experience. But we're excited to be here. We're gonna go around real quick and introduce. I think that Luke, you're the only person who's coming back, right?
I think so. Yeah.
So everybody, give me five quick things about yourself, fun facts. Luke, you just have to do one.
Okay.
You get like grandfathered in, so
gotcha.
You're good to go. We'll start with Mackenzie's brother.
Yes, my name is Cameron. I'm 19. I go to school at Middle Georgia State University, studying in aviation science and management, and I love frosted mini wheats.
That was literally the best, most concise five we've ever had.
I appreciate it.
Good
really?
Job, yeah.
Is that a bad thing?
No, that was really good. That was solid.
Cool. It's five informational things. I was told fun facts. Oh,
no. Oh, fun facts.
No, I thought all of those were fun, Cameron. I really appreciated that. I appreciate you.
Yeah,
all right?
I appreciate you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Luke, what you got?
I am a diehard Braves fan. That'll be my next. I love the Braves.
Are they going to do it again this year?
I don't know, man. The Mets are actually scaring me for once. You know, usually they choke by this point,
sure.
But I don't know. We'll see.
That's awesome. My 10-year-old hit his first homer this season, and it's still all we talk about around the house.
That's awesome. So, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yes, sir, Kevin.
All right. So, yeah, I'm Kevin. I went to the University of Alabama, Roll Tide. One of eight kids. Was born in Minnesota, raised here in Georgia, became a man over in Alabama. And then just started a new job working a warranty gig for a home building company.
Awesome. And I'm digging the hair facial hair combo.
I mean, you kind of look like my brother.
I like that. That's what I was going for.
Yeah. Brother.
Murphy, what you got?
So I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I go to Franciscan University of Steubenville, where I'm studying marketing. I'm a musician, so I like work and get gigs up in Pittsburgh mostly. I also just released an album on Spotify, and I've eaten guinea pig.
Nice. Not bad. The Incans like the guinea pig. Only done in Peru?
I was down in Peru on a mission trip, and I talked my friend into getting it because I didn't want to because it sounded gross.
Was it good?
No, it's terrible.
Okay, great. Cool.
It's a great call. I got the alpaca.
You ate the alpaca.
I did eat the alpaca. That was delicious.
This show, today's episode, is brought to you by alpaca meat.
Sweet.
Find it at your local Peruvian grocery store. And you gotta pitch yourself real quick, Murph. What's the name of the album? Where can we find it?
Smoke Dreams, and it's anywhere music is. So YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, you name it.
Killer. There. Awesome. Yeah. All right, that's great. So we are. We actually did not scheduled this just to pitch Murphy's album. What we're going to talk about today, we just did Finding Mr. Right with the ladies. We're going to do Finding Mrs. Right with you guys today. Like them, you kind of got some homework. The 10 non-physical, that's really important, non-physical things you find attractive in a woman, and 10 non-physical attributes that you find unattractive. We're not going to have time to get to all 10, so just give me your best three. We'll start with Cameron, work our way down, and then talk about it.
Alrighty, so I would say the first one for me is, it might be a little bit controversial, but I'm going to say she does not have to be Catholic as the first thing.
So wait, the first thing that you find attractive in a woman is the possibility of her not being Catholic?
Number one, I'll just say, okay.
No, let her roll, we can go with it.
Okay, I would say the first attractive thing is that she... I think emotional vulnerability is really attractive. I think someone who's really, she can be open with you. You can have those deep conversations with each other, be honest. I think that's something that's really important, especially in a relationship, getting that uniqueness with each other, something that's between you two.
Well, going back to the vulnerability thing, sure. I think that there's a lot of women out there who, for whatever reason, our culture is telling them they need to act sort of like a more stoic, manly man. You know, when your end game is to become a high paid ad executive or something, right?
Yeah.
And so they put off. It's almost like a non feminine. It's almost like masculine qualities of no, I'm tough. I don't need you. Like, why are you opening the door for me?
Exactly.
And that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. And I hate that because I mean I love it when my 22-year-old sister asked me to go get something from the car and it's midnight outside. You know, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. That's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, I think that this is, and this might be controversial as well. I said this when I was talking to the girls earlier, that I honestly think that every man or every boy, right, from a very young age up through, you know, an old man in the nursing home, they want to be a man. Mm-hmm. They want to slay dragons and protect princesses and fight for good and all of that. And I think our world's trying to beat that out of us. So that was awesome.
Absolutely.
What about you, Luke?
Well, I was going to add to what you just said, which is one thing's really attractive to me is a girl that has like the same like principles that I have, that, you know, that marriage is the end goal. I'm not saying first date, like, hey, you want to get married, but I'm saying that like she's dating for marriage in the sense that this is for the long run. Like, this is someone who I want to spend the rest of my life with. And if that's not possible, if we're not on the same page with just the basic principles of a good relationship, of what we believe, of how we believe we should raise a family, or if, even if we should raise a family, like, I know that's, like, pretty basic and fundamental, but, like, nowadays, that's something that isn't as, you know... you know, people don't just expect that right away.
No,
so,
totally. I think a lot of people, and that's pretty common in our society now, right? Yeah. You date for fun. And, like, maybe this turns out, maybe 5 years down the line, we talk about whether or not we want to get married. Maybe not. And I talked to a lot of high schoolers about that when they say, hey, do you think I should ask so-and-so out or so-and-so to be my girlfriend? And I always say, no, you shouldn't, because you're 16 and you're going to waste a lot of time and heartache. And that's controversial. I'm not saying all high school relationships are bad, but I am saying that if you're not dating somebody who is interested in, like, the same things you are and that you see yourself marrying, you're wasting your time, you're wasting their time, especially if we're going to be Catholic and stick by the morals of the faith, right? And you're going to be just hanging out with this person and not acting on all the things that, right? That's a long time. Not having sex with somebody and dating them for 7 years is unnatural and weird. It is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
sure. It is. Yeah. What you got, Kevin?
So my big thing might seem obvious. She's got to like me.
Like, I thought you were going to say she's got to like the University of Alabama, but I'll take
that's
you.
That's a big
okay.
plus. Right. I can't like Auburn, but no, she's got to like me. I can't be changing up like who I am, what I do for a woman, you know, or
no, that's
for
good.
Anybody really, but
no, that's really good.
For a future spouse now. No.
What about you, Murphy?
Yeah, I was like looking at this and I kind of like lumped this into one, but good communication and good conversations. So like to be able to like talk and just like have fun, kind of like what Cameron said, like with emotional vulnerability, but also to be able to clearly and concisely like actually express where you're at with something. So to be able to fully communicate, like, okay, this thing frustrates me, or this thing was really good, and to actually be able to like understand each other and not just talk for hours about the same things and never understand it. But to be able to have like a clear flow of communication.
Yeah, I think there's an emotional maturity element to that too. I don't know why this is still a thing, but it's been a long time. I haven't had a new girlfriend since I was 19, so I'm not super qualified. I married her. She's had four of my children, the only four. So I've been out of the dating world for a while, but I remember speaking to your point, Murphy, it's almost like they were trying to play dumb. Like they were trying to act like their head was in the clouds all the time. And I guess that's like a cute thing they think or something, but it really just makes me think you're sort of this vapid, empty, gross person.
Yeah. I'd like to have like deep conversations and like fun conversations.
Absolutely.
Like a whole across the board. Like I take my dad's line. My dad always says he's the deepest, shallow person you'll ever meet.
And then he slaps his leg because I know your dad.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. I like to like flip it up. I'm like, I'm the shallowest deep person. One step closer. But yeah, like I'd like to be able to have like good conversations, and then again, like also be able to like communicate how you feel about something.
That's killer. All right, give us another one, because I think a couple of y'all got away with just one.
All right. So this is confusing, but my mom and dad always tell this story. When my mom and dad started dating, my dad was like, "All right, look, I get up on a table and I start dancing, you can't pull me down." She said, "That's fine. You can't pull me up."
That's
and
awesome.
So like,
okay.
And maybe this goes under communication too, but like being able to like be yourself and not let the other person impede you from being yourself, and to not force the other person to be someone else.
I like that. Yeah. If you're dating somebody who you're trying to change, I think girls do this more often than guys do, where they're like, "I'm going
to
save him. Like he's,
to convert.
He's broken. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to fix all those wounds, and I can do it." And now, especially not when you're a teenager in college, young adult, you got all sorts of your own crap you got to work out. You know, you've got so much stuff messed up in you. The last thing you need to be doing is trying to pull somebody else up, right? You need to. I used this line last time, but I think it's true. All right, this is a great quote. You're running towards God. And you're looking and seeing who's keeping up with you. And you're saying, okay, these are my options. These are the people who are actually here and not somebody who needs to pull me out of a pit, or I'm pulling them out of a pit. You got another one, Kevin?
Yeah. So a big one for me too is I want a woman that's happy and laid back. And too often you see women that are, or not just women, but people that are just always grumpy, always upset. I can't stand that. Like I'm a very happy person. Not a whole lot gets me worked up. I want someone who's like that with me.
No, absolutely.
It's rough when they're not. Can't
That's
stand
killer.
It.
Okay, good. And you get one more. I think you did two, didn't you, Cameron?
I think I did one.
You do? All right, we'll go all the way back down the line then. Luke.
So this kind of builds on what Murphy was talking about too. I don't want the girl to change me and make me a completely different person. I want the girl to make me a better guy, you know, like someone who helps me grow into like the best version of myself.
Who you can grow with.
Exactly.
Not who you're relying on like an emotional crutch to drag you along.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So not like that wrong kind of change, but the good kind of change that makes me the best, again, version of myself. So, and then obviously I'll help her grow as well, but kind of goes both ways.
No, I dig it. I like that a lot. Cameron.
So I saw this quote one time and it said, I don't remember who said it, but it says, if you're not dating for marriage, you're dating for heartbreak. Mm-hmm. And I think that's absolutely true. So kind of like Luke was saying, but I think what's really attractive is a girl who understands what true love actually is, not, you know, having sex, not doing whatever else that they think, you know, society thinks true love actually is, because there's a lot of misconceptions about that. So I think someone who... A girl who really, really knows and desires true love. Because you have to desire it, too.
Well, you left out a leading question. We all need to know the answer now. What is true love, Cameron?
Well, so we're told that true love is willing the good of the other.
Pay attention, ladies. All
right. Yeah, willing the good of the other. But just the little things, loving God, loving Jesus. Mm-hmm. True love is a pure love. And it's not something that's done through any sort of sin. I know a lot of situations where there's love, but there's also a little bit of sin, but it gets to love, but it takes a little bit of sin to get there. And it's like, everyone sees it like, okay, well, you know, we can tolerate that. It's just a little bit. But even if it takes just that little bit, it's probably not the route you should go. You may get there, you may take a wrong path and you can still get there. But I think understanding what true love actually is really important, at least from a foundational aspect to form the love from that.
No, I love it. I mean, the quote, or not the quote, the definition that I always use is love is willing the good of another for their own sake.
Right.
Right. And it's self-sacrificial. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of times it doesn't mean making you feel good. I say this all the time, and my wife listens to this show, then I'm sorry, babe, but right. I always love my wife. Right. Love is movement of the will.
Of course.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't always like my wife, mm-hmm. just like I don't always like my kids, just like I don't always like my parents or mm-hmm. my friends, but I love them because I've made that decision. And I think if someone doesn't understand that, they mm-hmm. don't understand that love is not, you know, whatever they saw in that rom-com or something,
totally. But
it's an actual movement of the will, I don't think there's somebody worth continuing to pursue a relationship with.
I totally agree. It's not an emotion. It's a choice.
Right.
And it's something that you do for the other person, like you're saying. I heard something that if you go into a restaurant and you see a young couple and an old couple, the difference is that young couple is talking as fast as they possibly can, and the older couple is not saying a word to each other.
Right.
It's not that the older couple doesn't love each other, because they probably love each other more than the younger couple mm-hmm. does, because they're just figuring it out. But they already know everything about each other, and even just being in their presence is enough for them to love each other. It's not an emotion. They can just sit there eating dinner and not talk with each other. Emotionally, it doesn't matter. But like you're saying, it's willing the good of the other.
That is a way better take than mine that has always just been, they're out of crap to say to each other. They've been doing this for 45 years, and they're just want a moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's really good. Now, one thing that I didn't get to say when I was talking to the girls that I wish I had, but I think is important to go into, and I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts on this. A lot of times, especially in Catholic circles where, you know, people are, they're saving themselves for marriage, they're fighting the good fight, they're struggling against all the crap that's being thrown at us all the time. We talk about all these things that we find attractive, and we talk about modesty and holiness and common values and all of this stuff, but we don't usually talk about something that is super important, which is you have to be physically attracted to the other person.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't care if homegirl's the most perfect saintly woman you've mm-hmm. ever seen. If there's not a physical attraction there, then you probably shouldn't be testing out that relationship.
No, I was just going to add to what you're saying. I mean, you know, we're talking about like, oh, this quality, that quality, this quality, mm-hmm. you know, this girl could check, you know, 100 out of 100 boxes, but if there's no physical attraction there, there's probably something wrong, you know.
Right.
If you're spending the rest of your life with this person, and you know, we were made again body and soul, so personality is not everything, and you have to be physically attracted to this person.
Yeah, I mean, so. my wife is amazing. I love so many things about her. Tomorrow, if her, you know, she turns into like Two-Face from Batman, okay, that's fine, but I would be lying to you if I
didn't say when I was 19 years old and saw her working out in the gym for the first time, if I hadn't been like, I gotta, yeah, I'm gonna go talk to her right now, we wouldn't be married right now. So I think that just goes without saying. We don't have to continue down that line unless you guys have any more thoughts on that.
Not really, so
one thing that I'm interested in, and I'm not asking for gossip, I'm not asking for dirt, please no names or anything like that, but I am curious, and we haven't gone over the things that you find unattractive yet, but taking into account the things you found attractive, and keeping in mind those things that you find unattractive, the girls in your life, high school, college, post-college, right, in the career world, how have they measured up to the things that you wrote down on your list? What do you think?
I've been blessed, honestly. I've met, like, a really solid group of Catholic girls, mm-hmm. and, like, you know, I'm not dating all of them. We're all just good, solid friends.
Not dating all of them.
So, but yeah, no, I've actually been blessed to know, like, good Catholic girls that actually check a lot of the stuff on that list.
That's awesome. So, that's a blessing, man.
But I've also seen the other side. Like, I put myself in the wrong position where I'm like, you know, I know we'll talk about the unattractive stuff later, but I was like, yeah, this is not it. This is not it at all. So I'm glad I've kind of been able to see both sides, kind of see why, you know, those good qualities are actually really important. So,
okay. What you got over there, Murph? He has something to say, I can tell.
Thinking. Yeah, so can you repeat the question?
I'm curious, right, thinking about the things that you wrote down for unattractive versus attractive. Mm-hmm. We live in this broken world. We live in 2022 sure. in the United States of America. Where we are right now is sort of suburban, empty, nothingness, culturalist wasteland in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. How do the women that you have met in your life, high school, college, so on, how have they measured up? Because I'll be honest with you, you guys, and by you guys, I mean males in your rough age bracket from our last conversation, y'all need some work, right? Yeah. And we do. Yeah. I mean, guys, yeah, totally. And this is not a young people for problem, sure. y'all. People my age, people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, we got a lot of grown boys mm-hmm. who mm-hmm. never good actually time. Become men running around. So I'm curious about it from the other end. And it feels uncomfortable talking about it, but I think it's worth doing.
Yeah, like if you're like the girls I've dated in the past, I only have pretty much positive things to say about them, but
yeah, please don't trash talk your girlfriend. Yeah, no.
No, but like in terms of like women who I've just gotten to know and like have considered asking on a date and then like decided not to for various reasons, it's mm-hmm. like yeah, there's definitely a lot of brokenness, there's a lot of issues with, and like this isn't like necessarily on them at all,
sure.
this is more on society, but like I'd say a big one is like, and this is like knowing a bunch of good Catholic girls, mm-hmm. and it's reactionary to the culture, but it's over scrupulosity and not being able to actually just enjoy life a little bit. Like I've just known girls who have been unable to, I don't know, like let loose and like just have a good time, as well as like, you know, like alcohol is a thing and it's okay to use, as it turns out.
Right, but I assume by let loose you don't mean getting drunk and hooking up with a bunch of guys.
Exactly.
You mean like,
I don't mean that. I mean
I'm
like,
not so uptight that I can't go out and have drinks with my friends.
You know, like yeah. having three drinks is okay, mm-hmm. and like hanging out with the guys and like hanging out with friends and family and like being loud. I'm a loud person myself, and so like I get louder when I have one or two in me, of course. And so it's like, it's being okay with that and realizing that's a full part of life and that's perfectly okay to exist, you know, not always, not all the time, but like to be
sure.
able to
yeah,
like
yeah.
go out, have a good time, have a few beers and be loud and be boisterous. Like it's okay. It's not the end of the world.
I like
to
that.
Like be a little bit loud, to be a little bit out of the pocket, and kind of to what you were saying, I think a lot of men, really, they want to have a dragon to slay. They want to be in a certain sense wild. There's a book called Wild at Heart that I'm like,
yeah,
I've
read it.
Currently
it's fantastic.
Trying to read. I'm like dyslexic. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten through the intro. So there you go. But like the idea that men intrinsically, we want to be wild. And so like when I'm referring to over scrupulosity, I think I'm kind of referring to their inability to understand true masculinity, and that it's not going to look tame all the time.
And it shouldn't.
Shouldn't. Exactly. And so yeah. like, yeah, I guess that would be what I'm trying to say. It's kind of like this, like almost a not understanding. And again, this is on guys and girls, mm-hmm. and it's reactionary to the culture. It's also like, just like there's not a lot of true masculinity out there to compare this to, but the idea that like true masculinity isn't always the way they think it's going to look. And sometimes that like they don't respond well to it.
No, absolutely. I wish we need to have a whole show just on masculinity mm-hmm. and what that looks like. I would love to go down that rabbit hole for a while because it is absolutely true that it seems like right now your options are big old chest beating, like I'm trying to sleep with all the girls I can, whatever, or like little willow boned, wispy, you know, kind of effeminate guy. And the answer is neither. I mean, I honestly think that if women had never existed, right, if we just like butted off of each other, right, from the beginning of civilization to now, we'd be having a great time, but we'd be living in caves and just like killing each other all the time, yeah. like eating raw meat and laughing and like making like fart jokes all the time.
I'm hearing a lot of positives right? and negatives.
Yeah. No, none of that's going to be great, but we wouldn't have things like houses or air conditioning yeah. or car, right? Because women civilize us in a way that's really good, mm-hmm. but to civilize does not mean to feminize. Mm. And I think that's important. I'm sorry. I know you had something to say, Luke.
Well, yeah, I was... Basically, Murphy hit it pretty good in the sense of, like, we as a society, as a culture, we don't know, like, what men are anymore or what women are anymore. And that makes the dating game so hard. And that's one of the reasons we're having an episode on this because, like, it was hard for me now as a man. Like, what did true manhood look like? Mm-hmm. And I know for the ladies, they're having the same problem, too. Like, because they, you know, they feel that, you know, they're expected to be, you know, this awesome, beautiful woman. And that's hard when you have so many different definitions of what that is nowadays. And again, the whole culture, like, just completely redefined what manhood is, what womanhood is. Now we don't even know what it is. And there's just confusion everywhere, which is making this so hard. But I think you were hitting on it when you said that I feel like everyone's presented with an extreme. You know, you have for the men, you have the toxic masculinity, and then you have the timid man. For the woman, you might have, like, you know, like, you know, the dishwasher sandwich jokes side
versus the prostitute, know,
versus the
or
prostitute.
Right.
Yeah. And I've one of my favorite virtues is temperance. And mm-hmm. there's always that middle ground. And I think that's where we need to try to shoot for on both sides. I think that's where you find the most fruitful identity in your manhood and your womanhood right there.
Well, so that's a perfect segue into something that I wanted to ask. And I didn't ask this to the ladies, but I wish I had. We've talked about a lot of things. We might not have time to get into some of the unattractive features, but how do you find good girls? Because oof. Right now, I have no idea. I was talking about this the other day with my wife. I said, baby, if you die, you know, God forbid, I'm literally just going to go live like in a cabin in the mountains alone and eat raw meat. Like I don't know how to date. I've never yeah. dated anybody since I left college. And when you hear about dating, you hear about like Tinder and a ton of different apps on your phone. And it just seems like, I don't know where you find, I have no idea where you find good girls. I'm not looking, which is nice, but where do you find them? Any advice, any thoughts?
I believe if we knew the answer to that, we wouldn't be sitting here. Right.
I will say, I think this, and this is going to sound weird at first, but it's like, how do you find good fish? Well, you go where the good fish are. So like,
well, where are they, Murph?
Yeah, I mean, I just think surrounding yourself and like putting yourself in situations where you're gonna run into like-minded people. I don't know. I haven't ever been like actively searching for a girlfriend before, mm-hmm. Or like in as much as like going out and like trying to meet people, for that purpose. But I've been like in situations of like I just got back from a summer camp, Annunciation Heights. And surrounded by a ton of awesome women who check like a ton of the boxes we're talking about. And so it's like, I think if you put yourself, and not to say you should serve at a summer camp or something to like just meet women, that would definitely not be the right way to go about it.
Fringe benefit, maybe. It's not
however, the Lord's going to bless whatever reason you go to do that with. I'm sure he'll break you down and build you back up. But, but like just putting yourself in, I think honestly, you won't have too much of a problem with that if you make yourself available to the communities that are full of these women who are living out virtue.
That's like the same answer that was given a while back. It was a few weeks ago. We were talking about community, and they were saying, mm-hmm. go do the kind of things you want
things.
People who you meet to be doing.
That's like you
and,
said.
You can find them there.
That's like you said, and I think it works with friends, too. It's like you walk towards Christ, and you work towards Christ, and then you look to your left and right. It's like, who's with me?
That's killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you asked us to make a list of 10 qualities that we found attractive, and while I was writing them, you know, tons of qualities that I think everyone else would agree with, I started thinking, there's no perfect girl, you know, and no one's perfect, so it's almost, in a sense, when you're looking for someone, what imperfections are you willing to live with, and what qualities are you willing to live without? Because you can't get every single, they can't always, you know, be, they can't be confident and holy and, you know, all the different things all at the same time. So, and in a way, that's a little bit disheartening, but also I think there's so much beauty in that, because that is a, what a relationship is on one end, is building each other, that willingness to grow. You have to have some sort of, I don't want to say deficiency, but absence of some quality so that you can grow. You know, you can't grow if you're, you know, already as big as you can be.
Sure.
So, but I think that's really beautiful, is those imperfections and then just learning to love them throughout the imperfections. I'm sure you experienced that with your wife, just loving her through the, all the imperfections.
No, absolutely. That's fantastic. I wish we could keep this conversation going. I wish we had a lot more time. We're about done. I think we need to continue this, and I'd love to have y'all back on to do a masculinity show sometime and talk about that, what that looks like. We got, what do we have, a minute left, Producer Ben, something like that?
About.
Okay. So normally we do like popsicle sticks or questions. We'll do something quick. Fight to the death. How many cats, like house cat size cats, you got to kill them. I'm sorry if you like cats. They're going to kill you if you don't kill them. How many cats could you kill at once if they were all trying to kill you?
All of them.
No, by the end, it's like that World War Z movie where there's waves of cats.
I'm passionately against cats.
I agree.
I'm passionately against lots of things that I can't kill an infinite number of.
That's fair. So I guess I'll give you the number 20.
That's a big difference from all of them.
That's fair. I think I could rock 20 cats worlds, though.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
You can run over more than 20
cats. That's so true.
No, you don't get a car. You get what you're wearing right now, and you're in the middle of a basketball court.
We'll bump it up 25.
Okay. We do not endorse any sort of animal cruelty here on the show, for the record. Yeah. this show is also sponsored by the American Humane Society. Go out and adopt a cat today. And anyway, Kevin, how many cats could you kill if you had to? You have to, though. Not for fun.
I'm not much of a cat guy, so probably about 100. I feel safe in saying that.
All right.
You think you can get to 100 cats? Oh, yeah, for sure.
Luke, what you got?
I mean, I feel bad. It's like the hate cat club over here, but like, I agree. I don't like cats at all, so I would have no problem strangling the cats if they're trying to
murder me. They're trying to kill you. Yeah.
They're trying to kill me.
It's self-defense.
So it's self-defense again. So, but it won't be like also a cute dog trying to kill me.
No.
That's a little bit different. It's a cat. So
I have a cat. I've got a barn cat that lives in the barn behind our house. We live on a little working farm, yeah, and eats mice, and I share the feel. I'm much more of a dog guy, but I will tell you this: I prefer kittens over puppies. I'm sorry, I prefer dogs over cats all day long.
It's like the object of a cat and a dog and a kitten and a puppy, though.
Yeah,
kittens and puppies are for cuteness, and so yeah, cats win, little kittens win. But like,
but I'd much rather have a dog.
Dog and a cat is so different.
All right, Karen, close us out.
I'm gonna say 30. Yeah, I could do 30. Once the adrenaline wears off, I think, you know, start to get a little bit messy. But
no, I like it. Modesty was one of the things girls put down as attractive, so that's good.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, that is all the time we have for today. I think we are over time. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It has been awesome. Honest to God on 1160 AM, The Quest, Atlanta Catholic Radio. Thank you so much. God bless.
This has been Honest to God. What's on your mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.